with one of the deacons, we were counting the contribution, and so it got kind of late as to when we were finished, so that I didn't come into this class. I went into the other one because it was like half the hour was gone, and so. But last week, lesson six looks like it was very interesting, talking about the apostles' doctrine, and so if you would indulge me for a minute, come on in.
Hello.
You're stuck with me.
I wondered. I was like, who's going to be back there? How do I go back there?
Yeah, I was just sharing the story about how Roger texted me last night.
Ah! that's nice.
So,
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
Yeah?
You called us there?
Oh my gosh, yes. That feels like a snuggly
blanket. So, but we are in lesson seven. Do you need a...
I left mine out there. I brought it today, but it didn't make its way back here.
You're improving every week.
Right? So by the time we're done, I'll have it.
Yeah.
Just slowly migrating.
But I think this lesson's really good in terms of, I mean, it doesn't matter what I think, but I really do appreciate the fact that we've got the authority of the scriptures. It's what we've been talking about, God's plan to save mankind. And we know that Christ died for us, and Christ is gone, right? So who's left? Who survived? The apostles, right? And so the apostles' doctrine. And so I'd like to maybe do a little bit of, just a teeny bit of review from last week, and I was admitting to not being here last week, so I have a little bit of a disadvantage of that. You know, I assume we talked about the apostles' doctrine last week, and the verse, and of course our scripture to start out with today is going to be in Acts 2. We're going to start with that. But last week, apparently for this study, the next eight lessons are going to be based on Acts, the second chapter. And in the book of Acts... We'll read verses 41 and 42, but...
46?
We can do 46.
You're going to be making a lesson 6 over there.
No, that would be good. That would be good. We could read that whole passage. And this is after Peter's sermon, and it says in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And then in verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So... would anybody like to kind of give me a little bit of a review of what we talked about last week? A little bit of, as far as the apostles' doctrine?
I don't even know what I had for breakfast yesterday.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
I remember we got distracted on something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember we ended up talking about a lot of different things. I'm not sure what the...
My choice in music. And is that one of them? The realization that I shouldn't be watching some movies. Yes. And but, she said one thing at a time, so...
Well, it is interesting. In the last, 12 hours since I found out about kind of leading this discussion, you know, it's like my mind does that thing where it goes blank.
Oh, right, and then someone asks you, it's like, what?
Yeah, and then it starts, and then I'm looking at the material and I'm going, okay, what are we going to talk about here? But like I said, this study really does flow pretty well. I mean, it really does have a nice consistency in the sense that we're really talking about God's plan. And once Jesus is gone, the apostles were the ones who carried out the plan. They were witnesses to what happened, right? And that's huge. I mean, that is just huge. And so they were the ones, and here you have Peter preaching. But why don't we do this? Why don't we just go ahead and work on today's lesson? We'll try to stay focused and stay to the point. Because I think that we can look at the lesson from last week. And I, like Roger says, for last week's lesson, the next 8 lessons are going to be talking about those who were baptized. They continually steadfastly, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We talked about that last week, and we talked about, this outline talks about truth and error, it talks about the Lord's commandment, it talks about Jesus' apostles are a gift to the church. There's that a lengthy passage there in Ephesians. The apostles taught daily. If you go to chapter 3, the very next verse in chapter 3 says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." They were going to the temple daily, and we read several examples of how they were teaching. And then how they were to handle the doctrine of Christ. And we've had some studies on Timothy, and Paul talks to Timothy, an aspiring preacher, a young man who wants to be a preacher, about how to handle these things, you know. To reminding the people about what it means to be a worker. And then what is Timothy, someone who is teaching those who need to be taught, what they're supposed to do with the doctrine. And then it's important, you know, when we think about things, is that you know, Roger has done this frequently, going back to the scripture in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, about the fact that all scripture is God-breathed. And how do the scriptures help us? You know, it helps us by exhorting us, by teaching us, by, in pretty much every facet of life, God's word and his scripture can help us in all aspects of life. And I think that the lesson that Dave gave today about love really flows right into this. Because, you know, if we go right to the, and I'll read it again, but we go to the first item on our worksheet today, breaking of bread, lesson 7, and eating together from house to house. And so let's read that. Sorry, I'm going to remember to put on my glasses here. I'm constantly reminded that I need these. Acts 2:46. I'm always reminded when I lose them, so, which I do frequently. But it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." And so the question here says, what was the focus of eating together in each other's house?
To edify one another?
Definitely.
Love each other?
I mean, you know, we think about what was going on then, right? You had all these people that had come to Jerusalem, right, for Pentecost, and some of them didn't live there. And so, you know, they've been told, they've been taught by Peter, and they have this realization of what they must do. And so some of them lived there, some of them didn't, right? But basically we'll see what the result was. Day by day, every day, they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts.
Just taking care of each other.
Exactly. And everything you've said is right. Edifying one another, you know, being there. And then, you know, we read earlier about how some people, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So there were those who did have needs, getting back to the scripture, they were breaking bread in their homes. They were getting together and helping each other, and providing for one another. Right? Anything else? Let's go ahead and look at that next passage in Romans 12. And we'll start in verse 9. Would anyone like to read that? 9 through 21.
Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one with evil, no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you. Yeah, so how might eating together in our houses help us accomplish the things right, that Paul writes here?
Just creating relationships.
Yeah.
Just bonding in general. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to love someone if you don't know them.
Yeah.
Or what they like or what they don't like. And mm-hmm. how to help them when they need it if you don't know them.
Advice.
What's that?
Advice.
Advice too, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know in the business world, you know, I worked for companies that had people that worked all over, and I'm sure you all have done this, worked with different businesses or had a, you know, a company where a lot of times the connection with somebody was over the phone or email or whatever, and so from time to time it's good to get together and see somebody face to face because there's nothing that really replaces that. And I'm, you know, kind of talking about the business world, But you know, in our everyday, you know, the fact is that here we all live in the same general area. But if we see each other once or twice a week, you know, maybe that's not enough to really know, you know, what's going on in each other's lives. And that you can see where that the getting together, they could have that relationship, have that connection, and understand what's going on with each other. You were sharing a little bit earlier, not to make an example of that, but that's something, you know, if any of us are struggling with something, any of us have something that we need help with, encouragement with, it's good to ask for that help. But sometimes when somebody, you know, I may be somebody who doesn't want to share, you know, I don't want to let you guys know I'm struggling with something, but if we're you know, getting together daily, you might, you know, I might let it slip. You might find out the fact that you know, you could tell something's wrong. But when you really do get to know somebody, you have a relationship with somebody, you're going to know when that person may be down, when that person is in need of help, and that person may be, you know, clamming up and not willing to share. And then you know something's wrong, and you're going, yeah, I need to find out what's going on here. How can I help you? Finding out when somebody, like verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. You know, yesterday, it came to our attention in our family. My niece got married in June, and the gentleman she married does preaching, but he also works for UPS, and so he encountered a situation at work where he was really unjustly accused of saying things that he did not say, and it had to do with somebody that he works with who, to put it frankly, is homosexual, and so he was accused of saying things, and so the bottom line is he ended up having, or he made the decision to give his notice because things got so bad at work. But that's a situation where, you know, he didn't lash out at the people who were persecuted. And I would say that based on what I know about the situation, it was definitely persecution, you know, for his beliefs and a very, just a nasty work environment, you know, to be in. But and that's very sad. But here's a man who I've met once. I met him at the wedding. I know very little about him. But I feel for him. I feel bad for him, you know, and reaching out and trying to encourage him is what I need to be doing, what all of us in our family can be doing. But having said that, I see you all at least weekly, hopefully, maybe even more frequently. You know, how much more should I be finding out what's going on with you to help you? But that's just the example that we see here from Romans 12. So, sorry, I'm kind of going on. What other thoughts do you have about Romans 12, about what Paul's writing here, and how those things that he's written can help us accomplish? A multitude of things that Paul's documented, right?
Well, I think it's interesting, kind of going back to what you were saying about we see each other every week, but here you know someone who kind of threw someone else. We need to be able to help those people. And it really is kind of a small community, really, when you think about it. We pray for people all over the world, in Zimbabwe and China.
Absolutely.
So we are a family, and it's, you know, we pray for all these people, but sometimes it feels like, even though, you know, I see people here every week, it's still almost hard to know people,
yeah.
Seeing them, you know, twice a week. And so it can take a while to kind of, even though you can be close with someone, you can pray for anyone, it can still be challenging to say, like, I know everything about what she might need from me, you know, specifically, or whatever, without really getting to know people, which can be hard at church, you know, in the church building.
Yes.
When you're supposed to be respectful and quiet. Well, not necessarily fight, I guess I'm not five anymore, but.
We kind of see each other at our best here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great point.
You're not seeing me at work when I'm dealing with a customer that is very unruly, you know, how I handle those situations.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably when I need you the most, but I don't have you. But I have, you know, my studies, and you know, maybe I can then start to, you know, of course, I can always talk to my wife, but.
Yeah.
Branch out a little more, and maybe you share the same situation,
mm-hmm.
and that can help me, or I can help you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's I deal with unruly customers sometimes too, and I'm like, but then I was like, well, what if like Dave were in line behind them, or you know, someone else like that I would see here Sunday, and or maybe they would walk through the door on Sunday, and suddenly they're like, well, you know. Gotta kind of think about that, dealing with other people too.
It's really hard when you guys are around them, because I had a pretty unruly patient, and I probably wasn't as professional as I should have been, because I had to take an alginate impression of her teeth, and instead of making it really thick, I made it kind of watery, so she was like, gag on it. So that's really hard for, you know,
it
not
is.
The constant reminder. Sorry, it was just hilarious.
It is, though. It's hard when you're here 3 hours a week at the most, and then I'm not going to try to do that math, you know, the rest of those hours, you're not here.
Right.
And it, you know, just... By ratio, it's hard.
It is.
And it's hard when you, like, really, like, get to know, like, I know, like, I wouldn't say I'm new, but I'm newer. You know, you guys have kind of been raised in this congregation, and half the congregation's not my family anymore. It's your family.
Right.
You know?
Just keep
so
multiplying.
It's like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to kind of introduce my everyday life to you guys.
It can be
intimidating
to go to a new congregation.
I don't know what to,
you know,
does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and that's why it's like, I do appreciate when, you know, Haley and Mendel have birthday parties, and I get to see you guys, or
right.
I, you know, have potlucks, and it's nice to see people not in church clothes. I mean, in a silly kind of way, but it's like, oh, you have a Marvel t-shirt on. I like Marvel. And then we can talk about that. It's interesting, you know.
You
but,
get to know people better outside of the church.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But getting past that church point and trying to see you guys as family is just a really hard struggle for me personally, because my way of thinking and my previous way of life, I was very loud, I was very obnoxious, I was very, how do you call it, short-tempered? So, I mean, so trying to change those ways and trying to introduce, I don't know how to act. Like, I'm trying to still, you know, ground myself in a good place, and I don't know how to, like, well, just invite someone to my house, and what do you talk about? What do you, you know, I've had a really rough life due to my lack of big choices. So it's just, I don't know. But I know I would benefit from it, but I guess I'm just not there
but it's
yet.
Intimidating.
It's very intimidating because I'm not the one to be scared and shy. But the more sobriety I have underneath my belt, the more Christianity and knowledge that I get underneath my belt, I'm like, gosh, what do I say? You know, what do I do? What do we, you know? My choices of friends are totally different. So,
but meeting with those with glad is like it says here, glad and generous hearts, people that are willing to share, people that had needs, but you can tell that they're generous and they're and not only, you know, everybody needs to eat, right? And I, if you don't mind me asking, this is kind of one of those things, but I realize it may not happen every night, but do you with your families, do you sit down and have dinner together?
Yeah. TV off.
Have that. I mean, not every night, maybe.
we try to maybe have it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we have a fend for yourself.
Leftovers. I never see Matt at dinner time because we're always.
He's my husband.
You have different schedules. You know, one thing about our family is that anymore with Drew's schedule, he's typically working when we have dinner, so he's typically gone. And so that's that, you know, but we've tried to do that over the years with the kids, and like I said, this is not, you know, in there. You have to have, you know, dinner, TV off, yeah. But when we know some, even some family, that I've heard that, you know, they sit in front of the TV, they sit in the, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but sitting there watching whatever, and even, you know, I suppose if you were watching something together that you all liked, which is, that is hard enough as it is, right? potentially, right? And I was thinking about that with the men's. We had a men's breakfast yesterday, and it was really good. But even with the men, you know, it's like you said. Some people like sports. Some people like fishing. Some people don't like sports. So you know,
you have Mendel who likes Marvel.
Yeah. So you have to have people over. You know, that's one thing about Drew is he was. Well, I don't really like sports, you know, but a lot of things that he likes, there's a lot of guys here that like the same things that he likes, you know, as far as games, you know, video games and comic books and those kind of things. But just, you know, and the point isn't that, you know, Clint and I will talk sports a lot, you know, so we do have that common ground and we've got a background there, but it's important, but it's really just, you know, kind of establishing, you know, common ground so that if, you know, something important comes up, something that we need to be talking about that's serious or otherwise, you know, but we should do that with one another and be looking out. And that's something that I should be doing is looking at those things that Paul's talking about, you know, having genuine love, right? I mean, that's hard sometimes, you know. It's really hard sometimes to do that, to let our love be genuine, one towards one another. And if somebody does something to us, it's hard to sometimes let that go and be patient. You know, and pretty much everything that Dave talked about in the lesson today is just flows right into this, or this flows into that, if you will. So, anyways, but I do think that, you know, we do have examples of the meeting in the temple. You know, they're going to temple for a reason, right? It's like what we come here, you know, we come here to study about God's word, to learn more about God's word, to grow closer together, but the opportunities to get together outside of this place, and find out what's going on in each other's life is just as important. So anyways, let us keep going. Sorry, I'm gonna talk about the Lord's Supper. You know, I was, I don't know that, well, if you don't mind, I don't know that we need to read all three of those. I don't know that we have time to do that. Let's read Mark,
okay,
if you don't mind. Mark 14, 22 through 26. As they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he gave it, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank, and he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And so we have the examples from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I think these are all fairly similar. They might have some, but it says, list all the things Jesus commanded in these verses. So what did you find that you would say is, for those three passages, was pretty well in common that Christ commanded?
Take,
eat,
drink. Do this in remembrance of me.
Okay, I have a side question. So when we take communion and he says, "Take this is my body," and the cup, what are we supposed to be thinking about? Like, I know not obviously physically breaking off a piece of his body and eating it, that's frowned upon. But I don't know like what to think. I always think about him actually on the cross, like visually in my head. That's why I like close my eyes so like my kid's not like distracting me. But what are you supposed to be thinking about? Why are we taking the bread and trying to think that that's his body? Like, what is, does that make sense? Do you know what I'm asking? Yes? I'm not wording it right.
Oh, you are.
Okay.
You're saying it, actually. You're kind of answering your own question.
Am I really?
In a sense, yeah. In that you're thinking about Christ. But what you know, we take of the bread, we take of the, you know, we drink the cup. These do resemble, or they are a symbol. I've heard other religions kind of take things a little more literally. I just kind of came across that recently. I didn't realize that I think, well, anyways, we won't get off on that tangent. But, you know, literally, I'm eating, you know, like some manifestation of
his skin,
of his body. Well, we'll just leave it there.
Okay.
Just this is, you know, we understand it's bread. We understand it's juice or wine or whatever. But you know, these are symbols. But we're not, you know, it's to bring us together to do this as one, but to keep our minds focused on why this is important. You know, the sacrifice that he made for us. But I think that's why we have somebody get up and, you know, talk about it a little bit or share some scriptures. And I think it's good to just, you know, you could be thinking about Christ on the cross, what he went through. You could be thinking about what he endured prior to that.
Uh-huh.
You could be thinking about, you know, a number of things.
Okay.
But I've always appreciated, you know, your dad used to say, let's put away the cares of the world. And you know, he'd say that at the beginning of our service. And it's kind of like, let's center ourselves. Let's focus on what God, what Jesus specifically has asked us to do. We're taking this bread. This is, you know, think about what is significant about the bread. Think about Jesus' sacrifice, the fact that he died for us, that he gave himself, that he was willing to have go through all this torture, go through all this pain for our account, and then basically giving his life for ours, because he's our sacrifice, right?
Right.
What that means. And so, you know, focusing on that and staying centered, and it's hard. You got distractions of kids, you got all these, yeah. I mean, that's really difficult when you got little kids, right?
Yes.
You know, focusing on that, but listing those things that Jesus commanded. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
You know.
And I did answer my own question.
Yeah. Nobody was talking because you just kept talking. So
yes. That's right.
But that's important to think about, you know, understand that this is huge. And I think sometimes you get people, sometimes in the religious world, you know, I have very few examples, but you know, one time we went with some friends to another congregation. This was years ago, and it was not a Church of Christ. It was a community church, and they did not partake in the Lord's Supper. And I think the conversation came up about that, and you know, and of course you hear people make excuses or say things like, you know, it gets too mundane, it gets too, what are some of the
ordinary,
yeah. You know, we you know, it's not special. Well, we do it once a month, or we do it once a year, right, on Easter, whatever it is.
Well, Easter is supposed to be every Sunday.
So, but, yeah. You know, and I think that's the point that we're seeing here. So just to kind of keep things going, sorry, I don't mean to get off too much. But that, so is there anything not directly commanded but implied that we should follow? Right, but what was not commanded specifically? I mean, if you think about, maybe think about the details.
What is not commanded?
Yeah, I mean, what did Christ not specifically say in those scriptures that we as a congregation, we as the people that are believers, we come together, we have to consider those type of things. I mean, I actually just talked about it. The frequency, right?
Yeah.
How often?
How often? I mean, he doesn't. Now, I think in some of those scriptures, and to be fair, he says, now as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come, or I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but until I come again. So, but how often, right? So
I think it falls with the attitude.
But that's true.
And also along with like coming to services on Wednesdays or any other day, I think it has a lot to do with your attitude as far as how much or how less. Or now for me personally, that's a really hard thing to do because I want to do my best, but I don't want to burn myself out either.
Right. Oh, so. Understood. And I'm probably going to kind of answer the next question that when I mentioned about frequency, and I'm not trying to just, you know, emphasize that, but that is the next point. If we read Acts 20 and 7, and this is a verse that is frequently referenced from the Lord's Supper table when the talk is given, but Acts 20 and 7, and this is the thing I was thinking about when you mentioned movies the other day, sorry, or a few minutes ago, I'm sorry, you were talking about movies, and I was thinking about, let's look at 27. It says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them and continued to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. And so that verse has got a lot of stuff in it, right? But the first thing it says here, it says, on the first day of the week when we gathered together, it says, and so the question says, what breaking of bread do you think is being discussed here in Acts 20 and 7? Yeah. I don't think it was either. I mean, I really do believe that, you know, what they're telling us here is that the biblical example of the apostles, that the apostles were leading others, in this case in the church, to follow, is that on the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread. I think we're talking about they're partaking of the Lord's Supper. So does anybody have any different ideas? I mean, I realize we're kind of like preaching to the choir here, right? You know, but I think that's what's being discussed here, that the biblical example that the apostles and Paul specifically, as he's mentioned, that and so I was thinking about what I said earlier. Sorry, I'm kind of all over the place here, but I was thinking about really good movies. A lot of times what really sets a movie apart, or a story, or could be anything related, is that sometimes there's little snippets, little tidbits in there that they may seem kind of like minor points, but when you go back and think about them, like in this scripture, on the first day of the week, and you've got one sentence that's telling you something huge, on the first day of the week. Well, the biblical example here is that they were gathered together to break bread, and then it talks about Paul preaching till midnight, and that's kind of another point here, but sometimes it's the little things in movies that you remember, or stories, and I say little, I'm not trying to minimize their importance by calling them little, But if they're not necessarily emphasized in this entire chapter of Acts, you know, we're talking, we're pulling one sentence out and using that to determine how often we partake of the Lord's Supper, right? Because
right.
we have the biblical example. And I've heard people say this, and I don't know this for sure because I haven't studied it myself, but this might be the only place in the Bible that we read that. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And it's we understand that to be that they're partaking of the Lord's Supper, and that's when we do it, and it's important that we put that together with what Christ said, what Christ commanded us to do with the Lord's Supper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts? Sorry, I'm kind of going on.
The way that he commanded it, he said, "Do this as often as you come together." It kind of makes it sound like we're supposed to do it every time we see each other. Like, not just the first day of the week, but
I also think that's where the attitude comes into play.
Yeah.
It's that when we're together, we're supposed to be, you know, it doesn't mean we break out the songbooks and we have a
right.
sermon and we, you know, but I think when we're together, you know, there's sort of a...
That mindset.
Yeah.
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 Okay, let's move ahead. You mentioned attitude. That's a perfect segue, right? 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. If you don't mind, I'll read this one. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Sorry, I got to read it. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So that, obviously, that reading that second verse helps. So old leaven is worthless, right? I mean,
I don't understand that.
So
yeast will eventually just go bad and it won't do anything. Sorry.
No. I was hoping you would kind of clarify that for us.
To, like, all of the negative stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, leaven has a purpose, right? And when it gets old, it defeats the purpose, and I would venture to say that it probably could ruin.
It just doesn't,
sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't do its job, and it potentially could make your food bad, your bread.
Okay.
So, right? So basically what he's saying is that it's better to, you know, things like malice and evil and those things, you know, that type of leaven, well, let's not be that. Let's be unleavened. Let's be, you know, have sincerity and truth. And so it's, I'm not sure if what the right word is here. Is that a metaphor? Or,
yes.
So.
Metaphor is a comparison using like or as.
There you go. I always have a little bit of trouble with some of those, like, metaphors and analogies and, you know, making sure that I'm calling it the right thing. But it says, what is the attitude with which we need to keep the feast of Christ, our Passover?
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
So, like you just said, the attitude, what kind of attitude do we have? You know, are we approaching this as you know, with the right attitude, with having that sincerity and seeking the truth, to celebrate what's happened, what the Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. In the Old Testament, we know the history, right? They had to sacrifice the lamb. Christ came once for all, died for us, the ultimate sacrifice. He is it. We don't need any, you know. You know, so, but if we're following Christ, then we're basically taking the Lord's Supper. We're doing what's commanded. We're doing it. We're really doing it to our benefit to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember that sacrifice. Because so often we get bogged down with worldly things that just, you know,
can't escape our minds.
Yeah. It's important for us to come together and focus on Christ and the sacrifice He made for us. And so. And we're running out of time, so I didn't really think this would happen.
Sorry.
I figured we'd be done about 20 minutes, and you guys would be going. But let's look at that last. Well, let's look at that last. The last point there, and if you have anything else you'd like to share, if I've skipped over anything, you know, feel free to. In the last few minutes, let's look at that together. 1 Corinthians 11. This is a, you know, Frank read part of this morning. And this is a scripture that's so familiar to us, but But in starting in verse 17, and we won't read the whole thing, but Paul starts off talking about, he says, but in the following instructions I do not commend you, because you come together, but when you come together, it's not for better, but for the worse. And so he goes on to say, hey, you guys are having some problems. You have divisions. I hear there's divisions, and I believe it. So there's factions going on. And so when they come together, it's not to eat the Lord's, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat, but in eating, each one of you goes ahead with his own meal. So they're making a common meal, right? One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? You know, so don't you have a place to do this? You know, a home to do this? And so he's basically saying, I'm not going to praise you, but I'm going to basically talk about some correction that needs to happen here. And so he goes on, and so, but he says, what do you, verse 22, what do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? So if people come and they don't have, you know, we're supposed to be doing this together. We're supposed to have that, going back to that original verse, we're supposed to be generous and seeing what other people have needs. But in this case,
it's like a party.
Yeah. They're all over
their attitude's
completely wrong. Yeah, forget about, you know, they do have malice and evil. There's still some people that have that, and they don't have the sincerity and the truth that we just talked about. And so he goes on to say, "For I received from the Lord that, or what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed," and then it goes on to say, "He took bread, he gave thanks, and this is," and he quotes what Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then the cup. "This is my blood. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he goes on to really, you know, talk about the significance of it. And what we're doing, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And so that question there, the last question for today, what instructions about the Lord's Supper does Paul add to the recorded statements of Christ in the Gospels?
Eat and get drunk at home?
Well, I think really what he's looking at is that he's addressing that, but towards the end, he's telling them why it's important, right?
To remember him.
Exactly.
What he did for us.
And what does that mean? Because he quotes Christ in verse 24... verse 25, and then starting in verse 26. And so what does Paul add to the recorded statement of Christ in the apostle, in the gospel? Sorry.
Kind of the attitude in which you're supposed to partake of it, and
mm-hmm.
remembering why you're doing it. It's not just because you're hungry. It's not just a common meal. It is a memorial, and it's something that needs to be taken seriously and done with respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And talking about why it's important, why it's significant. And then what, verse 28, let a person examine himself. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. So if you're just, you know, you're not even considering why you're doing this, that's pretty serious. So, but you need to be we need to be understanding why we're doing it, why it's important. And then he goes on, and the passage does go on all the way through the end.
Yeah.
For anyone who, I'll just start in 29 and we'll read through the end of the chapter. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Just do this together. If you're hungry, eat at home. You know, take care of that elsewhere. So that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. He says, about the other things, I will give directions when I come. So, but, you know, it's important that we are discerning the body and that we're not taking an attitude like these people in Corinth were doing. So it's important that we, I think that a lot of times that part of the verse or that part of the chapter does get read to understand, help us understand the significance of it, the importance of it, and what we need to consider when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. So.
I have a question. So, I don't know how to really word it, though. Wouldn't them, like, being hungry, wouldn't that give them the emotional and, how do I say it? Wouldn't that make them feel emotionally obligated to be thankful to God because this one, do you know what I mean?
So if you're saying if they come to church and they're hungry?
Yeah, if they come to church and they're hungry.
They're literally hungry?
Yes, literally hungry, won't that? Because I know what it's like to starve. So if they came to church actually hungry and they got to eat that little bit, would that give them the correct mindset of being thankful and thinking of him? Or am I just taking this out of whack?
It might, but I think either way, they just, you know, it's important to not treat it as a common meal.
Right.
And then kind of getting back to that, if you are hungry, we, as your brothers and sisters, need to know that, and we should be helping you. We should be having that connection to find out those kind of things so that we can be helping each other.
Right.
So that you're not going hungry. But I think I understand what you're getting at.
And I think that you know what you're saying, having that life experience would definitely put that into perspective more.
Right.
But I think at the same time, it would run the risk of possibly these people coming in for that reason. Like when Jesus fed the 5,000, they weren't following him after that because they wanted to
learn. They were hungry.
They were following him because they were hungry.
Yeah.
And so I think that there would be a balance there where, yeah, you could definitely appreciate the sacrifice that he made more, but I think you'd have to kind of make sure that you are still coming and partaking for the right reason.
Don't always come hungry because then it'll be common again.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for your comments. We are at the top of the hour here, so I will go ahead and... I hope this was helpful in kind of keeping the flow of what we're talking about. Because, thank you. So last week we talked about the Apostles' Doctrine, breaking of bread, and next week I believe we'll talk about prayer and the significance of prayer. Thank you again.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure Haley was
No,
it's Alice. Okay. I just wanted to make sure she hadn't like fallen out there and there was no one out there, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Are you gonna pray?